Intervju Radija Študent. Pozdravljeni v rokah v intervjuju. Danes bomo prisluhnili sekom pogovora z Margaret Obeng, ustanoviteljico in založnico britanske neodvisne revije Banipal, katere ime je izpeljano iz imena kralja Asurbanipala, poslednjega asirskega kralja. Ta je vladal med letoma 669 in 627 pred našim štetjem in je znan po tem, da je bil eden od redkih antičnih kraljev, ki je znal pisati in brati. Asurbanipal je dal zgraditi prvo veliko knjižnico v mestu Ninive, ki je obsegala nad 20 tisoč glinastih ploščic, med njimi tudi ep o Gilgamešu. Banipal pa je ena redkih in zagotovo ena najboljših revij, ki angliško govorečim bralcem trikrat letno ponuja širok nabor moderne arabske literature v prevodu. Margaret Obeng je z možem, iraškim pisateljem Samuelom Šimonom, revijo ustanovila leta 1998. Banipal ponuja tako poezijo kot prozo, poleg prevodov iz arabščine tudi prevode del arabskih avtorjev, ki pišejo v drugih jezikih. Občasno se v reviji pojavijo intervjuji z avtorji ali knjižne recenzije. Vsaka številka je tematska, v zadnjih skoraj 20 letih izdajanja pa so se posvetili že prav vsem arabsko govorečim državam. Obenem pa so številke v preteklosti namenili tudi zaporniški literaturi, ženskim avtoricam, kratki prozi in podobno. Banipal v zadnjih letih izdaja tudi knjige in vsakoletno podeljuje nagrado za literarne prevode iz arabščine. V preteklih letih izdajanja so objavili preko 900 različnih avtorjev, revija pa izhaja v obliki mehko vezane knjige z več kot 200 stranmi. Revija Banipal je ena izmed najbolj uspešnih promotorjev arabske literature v anglosaškem svetu in predstavlja pomembno izhodišče za avtorje, ki na zahodu še niso poznani. Margaret Obeng in Samuel Šimon sta v Ljubljani pomagala urediti novo številko revije Euromediteranske univerze, International Journal of Euro-Mediterranean Studies, ki se tokrat posveča sodobni zalivski literaturi.
Well, how did we start? How did we start Banipal? I had learned and studied Arabic myself. I was working full time, but I was studying, going to evening classes, and very, very difficult. And then I met Samuel Shimon, and all his friends were very well known Arab authors in the Arab world, but none of them translated into English. And many of them were actually translating from other languages into Arabic. So, and I was feeling very sort of shameful that there was hardly anything in English translated from Arabic into English. It's very, very difficult to find anything. There were Arab authors who wrote in French translated into English, but not from Arabic into English. And both of us, it transpired, had been sort of publishers. I'd worked in publishing and in printing and production for many, many years. And Samuel, when he lived in Paris, he had actually organised his own little publishing press called Edition Gilgamesh. And he published about 14 collections of poetry, including one of his own, and a couple of collections in French. And so we just thought, well, with a few friends, Arab friends, why don't we start our own magazine? We can put in the best authors, translate, and we didn't know how we were going to translate, but I just contacted many professors of Arabic literature and said, what do you think about this? Would you like to support this project and help us translate? And actually the first issue, when we contacted authors, we found that many of them, they had some translations that people had done, friends or colleagues or professors, but they hadn't been able to find any publisher. So we said, okay. So the first issue of Manipal was mainly works that had already been translated into English, but not yet published anywhere. And then the response that we got from professors of Arabic literature in the States and in the UK, and even translators of French into English, is wonderful. How wonderful! Because they had been stuck on writing analyses and research documents for the academic journals on Arabic literature, which had no actual real literature in them. And so Manipal became the first sort of, a real literature in translation. And we decided from the beginning that it should be actually just translations of poetry and fiction, short stories and novels. No, maybe a few book reviews, but no analyses, no, academic treatises about literature, because unless people could read the literature, what's the point in reading about it? So we wanted to stick to enthuse people with the literature that was coming out of the Arab world. So that's how we started. And, you know, we didn't really think about anything apart from just starting it.
Zanimala nas je tudi, kakšna je uredniška politika revije.
First of all, there's no censorship at all. We're completely open to whatever the writers are writing. And our editors, in particular Samuel Shimon, who's the editor-in-chief, he reads all the literature pages, culture pages of the Arab press every day. As I said, all his friends are authors, and so he knows and gets to know all the new books that are coming in. We get a flood of literature sent in by email and on Facebook and so on. So he does lots of discussions and conversations on Skype and Facebook and email and phone with authors all the time. So we have this continuous what's coming in. And sometimes we think, well, I was explaining yesterday about the development of this issue on the Emirates, which took, over a few years. We eventually thought, we need to do a feature on the Emirates writing, because now it's becoming quite a big scene in the Emirates and around in the world, and they're being invited to go to different Arab countries and so on. Yemen also, we did a big issue on Yemen. So we've done issues on perhaps most countries, but also we've done something on new fiction. So this is new works that are coming, there are like 12 or so new novels that are coming on. We think that they'd be very good to be translated maybe, or but they represent new stage in writing in the Arab world.
Margaret Obenk je spregovorila tudi o položaju arabske literature na Zahodu.
Well, because of all the disgusting, terrible things that are happening in the old Arab world, Iraq, Syria, Palestine, Yemen, all being torn apart. I mean, in the West, most people are really very concerned about this, and so they're looking for answers, or why is this all happening? And in a way, they're not looking for ordinary literature, or great novels, historical novels, and so on, that might tell you more about the country, or so
searching for some anthropological truths, perhaps.
Yes. So, I mean, authors who are writing about the political situation, actually, you can get very big audiences in the West, but if you're not, you probably struggle to get a big audience, really.
Obenk sicer trdi, da je arabska kultura zaradi diaspor v Veliki Britaniji močno zastopana, a poudarja, da se najmanj pozornosti namenja prav literaturi.
In London, still talking about the sort of support, there's a festival that one of the London boroughs organizes called the Noor Festival, and that's every year, and that's because there's a very big Moroccan and Arab communities living in that area. And it's mainly for children's literature and dance and music and art and crafts and all sorts of things. Not an awful lot of literature. So, and it's very, very popular. And then every 2 years, there's a festival called the Shubak, which means window. So it's a window on the Arab world. And that is for anything to do with the cultures of the Arab world, and they bring in bands and dancers from other countries or existing in London or in the UK. So, and they have a literature weekend which is at the British Library, and lots of people come to that because there are lots of different activities over the weekend.
Kakšne tendence Obeng vidi v sodobni arabski literaturi?
One of the things is that it's becoming very, very open, and people are writing about any subject. There are many writers write in the first person, and probably about 20 years ago or so, some writers in some countries get accused of writing autobiographies because the novel in some Arab countries wasn't so such a popular genre, and so people think, you think I'm doing this, so they think writing about your own story. Now it's really seems to be accepted. You can have a first-person narrator, or you can have a third-person narrator, or you can change through the different chapters, and it's accepted that this is fiction. And it seems to be, a fact of life now. One of the other things that I've noticed is that there's a great deal of experiment in writing novels, in the way in which the narrator would change between the chapters, or it will go from first person to third person, or they will be talking about historical things. The setting will be in perhaps a fairly recent historical situation, and they will name people that you know. I've read books where this poet and that poet is mentioned as influences on the characters, and the characters are characters. They're imaginary characters, but they're talking to people who are actually real. And there's this is a sort of experimental combining, reality with imagination, which is sort of quite unusual. It doesn't really happen so much even in English literature. Let's talk about Khalid Khalifa. He is writing really about the turmoil and what's happening in Syria. And many of the writers in this, they're writing about what on earth has happened. How on earth has this catastrophe happened? So they're writing it in terms of fiction, but looking at how the characters have, been destroyed, or how they've become fundamentalist, or so this issue of fundamentalism is being raised and discussed in the literature, and even how people lived under a very strict control of a regime. So it's being discussed. And as I mentioned yesterday, in general, in the Gulf, in the novels in the Gulf, I mean, many of the women, they're writing very, they're writing about very real issues that affect many women all over the world. I mean, not just in the Gulf. Arranged marriage or control by the father or you know, they're very important issues that affect many more people than themselves. But so you see that they're raising sort of universal questions. They think they're writing particular issues, but actually they're very universal.
Obenk je spregovorila tudi o načinih izogibanja cenzuri ob izdajanju literature v določenih arabskih državah.
The thing is that in the Arab world, because each country has a different sort of policy, and you've got publishing houses in many different countries, an author can, if he's censored in his own country, he can publish in another country. And even there are authors in perhaps in Saudi Arabia, they can't publish in their own country. They publish in Beirut, and they become very known and very, very high reputations. And so, because they've published and they're read all over the Arab world and they're known and they're winning prizes internationally as well, then they are recognized in their own country. So it's sort of that gets round, in a sense, even though they may not be allowed to publish their books in their own country. And I know that for one person I went to see once in one of the Gulf countries. He's an author, and I went to see him in his office, and he said, "Well, here are my books." And he pulled out from under his desk his books, which he'd brought in a suitcase because they were published in Beirut. But he was not allowed to publish in his own country. But he's a major writer and he's a major cultural figure.
In kdo so v Veliki Britaniji trenutno najbolj prepoznani arabski avtori?
The big stars are Arab authors who write in English,
mm-hmm.
actually, because they, I mean, they're native English speakers, and you know, they're invited everywhere. And I said yesterday there's a problem with literature festivals in the UK really inviting English speakers. So, you know, if you don't speak English, that's a problem. So Hisham Attar is very, very popular. He's written three books, mainly about the disappearance of his father and going to look for him. And he's a Libyan author mm-hmm. and lived most of his life outside Libya. He's very well known. Samar Yazbek is also very popular, but I mean, she's mainly writing diaries, what's exactly happening. So she goes to the Frontline Club. She's invited to speak about what's happening in Syria. So it's, again, it's sort of politics. It's what's actually happening in the Arab world. People want to hear not so much literature.
Obenk je podala tudi nekaj misli o pisanju, ki izvira iz migrantske izkušnje arabskih avtorjev, ki živijo na zahodu.
A few groups who try to encourage migrants to write their stories as well. There was when I was at the Euromed conference in June, there was a lady there who gave me a book, and it was mainly written by Syrian women. but they were all recalling, and they wrote it in a camp in Beirut. I mean, they're all refugees in Beirut, but they were all recalling the stories, like not fairy stories, but legends and stories that their grandmothers and mothers would tell the children. So they were keen for them not to get lost, because once you're a diaspora and you're spread around, things can get lost. So you have to think about preserving the old literature. Let me just tell you one other thing. Years ago, I did a panel on literature from Arab authors in London, and I asked them what they were doing now. And there were four, but I remember what three of them are doing. One of them stopped writing altogether and started researching what was going on in Iraq. He left in 79 and settled in London. Now he's in Beirut. And he was a writer, but he stopped writing and started going researching all the sects in Iraq and the history of Iraq to preserve the history. Another writer, he was so worried he was going to forget what Iraq looked like and what he could remember. So he was writing, everything he was writing was everything he could remember about the places that he was and the people that he met and all that. And then somebody else from Syria, actually she was writing all about the life that she was living in London, the people that she was meeting and the different types of lives that they were leading and how different they were to what she was, and it was fascinating that, you know, when you're plonked into a new country, everything is up in the air, you know, so you have to sort of rethink all your relations with the world, and so that you have completely different responses. Even there's one author, there's a few Iraqi authors actually, and they've been living in the diaspora quite a few years. There's Ali Badr, lives in Belgium, and there's Sinan Antoun, lives in the States, and they are writing. They're very prolific writers. I mean, they're not writing novels. Sinan also is a poet, but they're writing about Iraq. Different aspects about Iraq and what's happening to it. So, in a way, they are the diaspora novel, but they're also Iraq, very Iraqi novel.
Za konec smo jo povprašali še, kaj prinaša jubilejno 20. leto izdajanja revije.
This year is our 20th year, so we want to do some, you know, special things. So the spring issue will be on Arab literary prizes, mainly for the novel, and also it will be about the Arab novel, and we will include excerpts from the shortlist of the International Prize for Arabic Fiction, which is awarded in April. And the summer issue, we will have the theme will be the Lebanese author Elias Khoury, who writes always on about Palestine issues to do with Palestine. And the third issue in the winter time, this time or earlier, will be, I think it's going to be the 100 best novels. So we're working on presenting the 100 best novels that have been over the last, you know, 30 years, I suppose.
Z Margaret Obeng sta se pogovarjala Petra in Arne. Intervju Radija Študent.